Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver. I'm Cindy Broad, reporting for Stockhouse Media, and today I'm joined by Steve D'Angelo. And Steve is one of the founders of the ArcView Group. The ArcView Group puts on a conference every year, numerous times a year, actually. But we are in the Santa Monica Conference again for the second year in a row. Fantastic turnout, Steve. Thank you for joining me today.
It's lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Well, I'm very excited to hear your perspective on where cannabis is heading. What do you see happening, and how is that going to affect Canadian and U.S. investors, and what are the opportunities in the space currently?
Well, you know, everybody is pretty aware of the hard landing of the Canadian public markets and cannabis. I think that this is actually a really special time in the history of the industry. We are going through our first real downturn right now. But we know that cannabis has been consumed by human beings for millennia. We are beginning to learn again what a valuable plant it is. And there's no question that the legal cannabis industry is going to continue to grow. So when I read the trajectory, when the Canadian public market started to blow up and I started seeing these business plans that were inconsistent with any cannabis reality that I knew or understood, I was kind of like, I don't understand how this can be, right? It didn't read to me. But I was also kind of naive about financial markets and capital strategies, and I just figured that, you know, that these folks knew what they were doing, right? Well, it turns out that my original gut was right. And a lot of those early stage companies in Canada were built by people who had a lot of experience in public markets, and maybe they knew gold mining or petroleum pretty well, but knew nothing about cannabis. And so I think that what we're learning is that some of the promises that those companies made were not reliable, whether it was due to ineptitude or other motives, who knows, but they've turned out not to be reliable. And I think of that as sort of the first wave, right? But then there's this second wave that's coming along now. And these are companies that have more cannabis expertise in it, that the founders came out of the cannabis milieu, maybe slower to be able to get licenses, slower to capitalize, slower to really enter into the mainstream, but with great depth of expertise and respect for the plant. So I think that those are the companies that are interesting now, companies that have a realistic growth curve, that have a management that's committed to the long run, that choose an area of focus and then sufficiently resource that area to achieve excellence.
Yep.
We are not going to see the kind of hockey sticks that people got all excited about for a while. It could happen again, but I think that we've been going through a correction that was
necessary. Yeah, for sure.
So you know, now what we're finding out, unfortunately, is that you know, there are a lot of companies who probably would have done just perfectly well if they had kept along on their trajectory of growth that they were at, instead got really excited, took in a bunch of investment money, made a lot of unrealistic promises, and now are, you know, I don't need to mention names, but there are founders who are losing control of their
right.
companies.
Yep.
I think that the second wave is going to really be the solution to that. And there's plenty of people now who came out of cannabis who have had some seasoning in the mainstream business world. They may not be, you know, super whiz kid readers of the public markets, but they know how to build an organization, they know how to motivate people, and they know how to please the consumers. Those are the interesting companies now.
Yeah. for sure. So there's going to be quite a shakeout, obviously, over the next little bit of companies that are either bought out or taken over or just disappear completely. What is your advice to those companies? How can they stay top of mind for investors? And how can they remain relevant as this space is correcting and changing moving forward again?
Well, you know, for some companies, unfortunately, it's just too late, right? Companies that realized what was going on and pulled back and trimmed their sales early enough on in the process will now have another run at success. Yeah. And so if you're in that situation where you can move forward without taking money and you can weather this storm and grow slowly, then I think that that's the clear and obvious course of action. But not everybody can do that. We have some companies who just aren't able to do that, and they're going to need to take in capital now, and they're going to pay a very dear price for taking that capital in.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so everybody's looking for the next big thing. So psychedelics are on everybody's mind. I know you have some thoughts and opinions on that. Can you share them with investors?
Well, I think that cannabis and psychedelics are very, very different substances.
Yes.
Okay? While I'm comfortable with profit-making organizations handling cannabis, I think it's a good thing. That's largely because there's not much of a downside to cannabis, right? The worst thing that happens to people who are using or overusing cannabis or misusing it in some way is that they might spend a couple of years sitting on a couch, right? Or that they might spend a few hours curled up in the fetal position on the floor of a bathroom. But they don't blow their brains out forever. They don't become slaves to some horribly addictive substance. Those things are recoverable. But then I think about a for-profit company who wants to make money and also do that with psychedelics. Well, their objective, whether stated or not, whether conscious or not, if they're being true to the profit-making corporate model, is going to be to encourage as many people to consume as much psychedelic substance as frequently as they can. And I think that's a dangerous situation. I think that people need more preparation and learning to be ready for psychedelic experiences.
So how do you see that as a market in general, though? Like, is that going to be the next space in the market? Is there enough companies that are going to be doing it? Are the margins good enough? Like, what is that looking like?
I think it's crazy for investors to be thinking about investing in psychedelic substances, which are not only highly illegal right now, okay?
Yep, yep.
But they also, if you read the history of the 1960s and the 1970s, when these substances are not experienced in safe and loving containers,
right,
some disturbing things can happen,
yeah,
right? And some psychological damage can happen. And so I think that we need to envision a way of bringing this very valuable plant medicine to people in a way that allows society to have a reasonable learning curve with psychedelic substances. And I don't think of a profit-making company whose job is to sell as many products as quickly as they can at the highest margin is the right steward of that kind of energy.
Okay, so as far as the cannabis industry goes currently, I think there's a huge amount of upside still waiting to come. For me, it's like the internet. We went through that one wave, people fell off, nothing much happened. Then we went back again with Facebook and Instagram, and I mean, now it's just blown up. Cannabis is a very young industry, so people expecting that to happen very quickly is not realistic in any way, shape, or form. This is a slight correction, and I think we still will see movement in the market. I interviewed Bruce Linton as well a while ago, who said, you know, show me a sector, I'll give you all day. Find me a sector worldwide, anywhere, you can't find me anything like that. So the growth potential, and that is by definition growth, right? So there is no downside in this market currently right now. Correcting is necessary, but I think it allows a whole bunch of companies a huge upside potential. What do you see as being, what excites you right now as far as what the potential looks like, and what are you doing to leverage the potential in this sector?
Well, we learned a couple of things here at the conference that I think are really, really exciting. Yeah. So one of the things that we learned from Tom Adams from BDS was that in Colorado, 42% of adult Coloradans report having consumed cannabis in the past month.
Wow. Okay.
That compares to U.S. government-sponsored studies and polls that reported that 9% of the American population admits to using cannabis once a month.
Right.
So basically what we're finding out is that when you make cannabis legal and you give people access to it, lots and lots of people try it, and once they try it, they really, really like it, and they keep on using it month after month after month. So just imagine, we have a globe, right, around the world where probably the admitted consumption rate is somewhat less than 9%. But we know that once cannabis is made legally and safely accessible, we're going to see an adoption rate amongst the general population of the entire planet of about 42% at least.
Wow, right.
That's what we've already seen.
Yeah.
What other product has a market that large? Right. And we're not even really thinking about the full potential of the plant. We're thinking about the healthcare and the arguably recreational aspects of it. When you start thinking about the fact that cannabis is the ideal raw material for a new green economy, anything that you make out of trees or petroleum or cotton can be made out of hemp. It can be made at a much lower ecological cost than any of those sources now. So imagine a future, right, where you have a truck. It's full of packages, right? That truck, the body of the truck, is made out of hemp plastic, which is 10 times stronger than steel. That truck is powered by an engine that's burning hemp biodiesel, or an electric engine that's being powered by energy from a hemp-powered power plant.
Yeah. Right?
Imagine all of the boxes in that truck, all of the plastic wrapping around those boxes, half of the products inside those boxes, all made of hemp. Imagine the driver's uniform, her shoes and her socks, all made out of cannabis hemp. That's the world, the potential that we're moving into.
Right.
Imagine a world where we don't need to cut down trees, right? Where we don't need to pump the last bit of oil out of the earth in order to provide for our needs, where we don't have to turn earth into a cinder. That's the potential that cannabis holds. It is limitless.
Right. And I think everybody can get on board with that, right? It's universal. I mean, what is Steve D'Angelo doing next? That's what our investors want to know. What's your next big play?
Well, my next big play really is talking about cannabis. I've built a lot of operational companies over the years. I'm still chairman emeritus of Harborside, and so I'll be working along with all the other publicly traded companies to get through this downturn, and really paying a lot of attention to how we can adjust to the new market. Harborside's actually done pretty well here. We didn't overreach too much, and a lot of good things are happening. We're opening two new. We've already opened one new shop. We're getting ready to open a second shop. We just opened our first drive-through.
Yeah. Oh wow.
We have drive-through cannabis.
Where's
now.
That's
in our Desert Hot Springs shop on the I-10 freeway, right by Palm Springs.
Perfect.
My friend Jim Belushi came to help us open that drive-through and
fantastic.
Had a great time.
Great.
And we're opening our first consumption lounge in Oakland, California, our flagship store. So that's super exciting to me because it's sort of the next step that cannabis reform has opened up. For years and years and years, our whole lives, we've had to go into these small groups and kind of put the towel underneath the door and hide, right?
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, we can all like come to one central spot and hang out with each other and get to know each other.
Yeah.
And what is that going to look like? How are cannabis social spaces going to be different from alcohol social spaces?
Right.
What is the business model that's going to optimize the profitability of a consumption lounge? So those are all really exciting questions that I finally have a laboratory to play in and start figuring out the answers.
Yeah.
So that's super exciting. And some of our long-term strategies are really beginning to pay off. So at our farm, which was one of the first large-scale, efficient-scale farms in California, We had a period of time where, like everybody else who's tried to grow cannabis at scale, it was a learning process.
For sure.
And a challenging learning process.
Yeah.
But we now have, we just taken our first harvest out of our brand new, beautiful, fully automated Dutch greenhouse with super clear glass and, you know, these, they've got these tracks in the greenhouse. The tables move along these tracks. And when it's time to harvest, you just move the tables to the workers and the workers do the harvest. And then once it's harvested, the table moves on to a washing station and it dips the whole table into this antiseptic dip and pulls it back out again. And does it in like, 60 seconds.
Wow.
And what that translates into is higher quality cannabis at a lower price for our consumers.
Yeah, that's awesome. I would love to come down and see that facility. It sounds amazing.
You're yourself invited.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, so I was joined by Steve D'Angelo today, founder of ArcView, and we are down in the beautiful Santa Monica, California. Luckily, there's sunshine where I came from. It was snowing, so this is great. I really appreciate your time, Steve, and it's always an education being with you. I can't thank you enough for imparting your knowledge on the space with me today.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for helping give voice to these messages.
Excellent. Thanks, Steve.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.